Jaya Radha Madhava Kanchabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kanchabihari Kapi Jana Balava Giri Barada Yashar Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Chamuna Tira Panna Jamana Tira Panna Chari Jamana Tira All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Uranga. Thank you. Mukam karati vachagam dangam langkayate grim yakipandamam bande shi gurum tenatavinam om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshu militam yena tasamai shri gurave namaha. So we're singing the prayers of Queen Kunti, starting with verse 28. If you don't have it, it's up there on the sign. Manye tam kalamishanam anadi nitanam vibham samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yan mitakali. Now repeat after this line. Manye tam kalamishanam
manye tam kalamishanam
anadi nitanam vibham
anadi nitanam vibham
samam charantam sarvatra
samam charantam sarvatra
bhutanam yan mitakali
bhutanam yan mitakali
na veda kashit bhagavam shikirshitam
na veda kashit bhagavam shikirshitam
Tavehamanasya ninam virambanam.
Tavehamanasya ninam virambanam.
Nayasya kaschit ayitas dikarhiche.
Nayasya kaschit ayitas dikarhiche.
Deshasya yasmin vishama matir ninam.
Deshasya
yasmin
vishama
matir ninam. Janma karma chavishvatman. Ajasya kartir atmana
Ajasya kartir atmana
Tiryang nishi suyadasu
Tiryang nishi suyadasu
Taradyanta vidambanam
Taradyanta vidambanam
Gopyadade taikita gasita matavad
Gopyadade taikita
Yate dasha shikali lanjana sampramaksham
Yate dasha shikali
lanjana sampramaksham Vaktram nini apaya pavanaya stitasya
Vaktram nini apaya pavanaya stitasya
Samam vimohayati virapiyad viveti
Samam vimohayati
So before we begin our discussion, I would like to know if anybody tried the homework yesterday of seeing, we had two questions. The first question is, how is Krishna protecting you in your life, yesterday specifically, or it can be your whole life, but did anybody have any experience, or did anybody try that question? Yes?
Well, I was listening to Prabhupada's lectures, so I was filling my consciousness with Sri Sri Prabhupada.
Oh, okay, so you were listening to Prabhupada's lectures, so you were protected by listening to the lectures. Yes, at the same time you were fixing the building, and you're up on the ladder, so also I guess that helped, so you wouldn't fall down from the ladder. You were very alert, and your consciousness was fixed, so you were doing your work at the same time listening to Prabhupada, so that's very nice. Anybody else have something you tried yesterday on the protection side? Okay, the other question we had to do yesterday was, how is Krishna taking away from me, and how is Krishna giving me? That was also a question for yesterday. Did anybody try that one? Or notice how Krishna is taking away and how Krishna is giving you something. Anybody, did Krishna take away something from anybody yesterday? Yes? Okay, he's constantly taking away your illusions and family life. All right. Yes, I guess every day that happens. Yeah, me too. And I called my son the other day, and yeah, I was losing my illusions as well. And did you notice how Krishna was giving you anything?
Yes, he gave me peace of mind when I let go of the illusions.
Okay, when you let go of the illusions, you get peace of mind. Yes?
I'm actually new to Christchurch. I'm from Australia.
Oh, okay.
From Sydney.
Sydney.
I just came for a week-long tour to New Zealand.
Oh, great.
I was actually searching for an ISKCON temple here.
Right.
And I was actually just passing by. Due to my Grihastha commitments, I couldn't actually enter into the temple.
Uh-huh.
So I was feeling very, very sad yesterday. And this morning, I got up around 4 o'clock. I thought, okay, why not give it a try? And here I am.
Great. So Krishna protected you from staying out there the whole time, and he brought you here. So he gave you his association. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Even though you didn't come to yesterday's class, it still affected you somehow. Krishna is always there. Yeah, we just need to access that mercy that's always coming. Mercy is open. We just have to take advantage of it. So thank you for coming and taking advantage of the mercy of Nitai Gaur Chandra. Anybody else? Yes?
Courage.
Courage. So what do you mean? Krishna gave you courage?
Yes.
Okay. Great. And did he take away anything?
Fear.
Fear. Good. That's very nice. He takes away fear and gives courage. That's a wonderful thing to happen, because all of us have fear in this world. There's so many calamities happening every day. As Queen Kunti, so we don't need to pray for them. They are coming. Kunti prayed for them, but we don't need to do that now. They are coming every day. Anybody else notice how Krishna was taking away something from you yesterday? Yes?
He took away my hunger.
Your hunger? What did you do, eat? Okay. Well, that helps. That's logical. Well, that's something to notice, though, that it's Krishna that's taking away your hunger. Usually we just eat, and we don't even think of Krishna. But it's nice that you realize that it's Krishna that's taking away your hunger and giving you nice prasadam. Very good. Okay, so see, the goal of this seminar is to make us more conscious of Krishna and how he's there in our lives every day. I mean, every day we eat so many times, but how many times do we think, oh, I'm hungry? But it's Krishna who's taking away my hunger. So not only does Krishna take away things that we don't want him to take away sometimes, but he takes away things that we want him to take away. And today we'll discuss a little bit about that sometimes people are afraid that Krishna will take away things, their things that they're attached to. And so they don't want to surrender to Krishna. They're afraid. So we'll discuss that a little later in one of the verses. It's in the purport. So to review, Krishna is ready to leave his friends, the Pandavas, and go back to his hometown, Dwaraka, where all his family members are. But Kunti is very attached to Krishna, and she doesn't want him to go. So she's very humbly praying to him, and she's saying that when we were always in danger, we always had you with us. You came as soon as we called you. But now we have our opulence, we have the kingdom, now you're leaving us. So I'd rather be in danger. I'd rather have the trouble and you be with us than to be in this very opulent, wealthy position and you're going away from us. So this is the purpose of all her prayers that we're studying. She's trying to get Krishna to stay, and she's feeling great separation from him, although he's right in front of her, face to face. She's feeling great separation. So in the verses today, we're going to hear about some contradictory behavior of Krishna, which bewilders ordinary men but endears him to his devotees. So Kunti is noticing this contradictory behavior because she understands how Krishna is the Supreme Lord of all, but at the same time, so he's the controller of all the worlds, he's Ishwara, he's so many things, but at the same time, he's controlled by the love of his devotees. So we'll hear about that today. First, we'll hear about all his greatness in the first verse. Manyetvam kalamishanam anadinitanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yan mitakali. My Lord, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. So my realization yesterday was very similar to this verse. I realized the Lord as eternal time. And I noticed how time was, that Krishna was taking away the time of my day so quickly that before I knew it, the day was over. And so it made me realize that he's giving me the understanding that how rare, how valuable is this life that he's given me, this human form where I have the intelligence to inquire, where I have the intelligence to understand him. And I have the ability, the opportunity to, again, connect with him in my life and eternally after this life. So I got that realization of how valuable time is yesterday when I was thinking how he takes away every minute, every second is being taken away from me. And you can't get it back. You can't purchase it with $1 million. You can't get, the time now is 7:28. Now it's going to be gone in a minute. That minute is already gone. And you can't get it back. So how you use your time is very, very important. So Krishna is time. He appears as time in Bhagavad Gita. So one aspect of time is very fearful, and that is the aspect of destruction. When you get my age, then you realize that you're living in a body that is, every day, it is being annihilated, actually. It's on the destruction. It's dwindling. It's going away. It's being destroyed, this body, every second, especially in old age. And if you don't do something preventative, then it'll just deteriorate like that. So every day I have to do yoga, I have to walk, I have to do so many things just to keep this body going at this age. And when you're young, you don't worry about it. But when you get over 50, over 60, then you have to start doing preventive actions to keep this body going. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains that time is a representation of super soul. Super soul is in our heart, watching us, an expansion of Krishna, who stays with us as long as we're in this material world. And he's the witness of our actions, good and bad, and so therefore we get our reactions. So the super soul appears in two features. Inside, as guru, he's our conscience telling us, do this, this is the right thing to do. Or listen to me, do go to your spiritual life, do your spiritual life. And outside, he's time, taking away our duration, giving us the reactions to our past deeds. So no one is actually an enemy or friend, but everyone is under the influence of either the super soul, well, of course, super soul and time. And so we just get our destiny, and we can't do anything better unless we surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, we just get our destiny. We just get what we did in our last life. But if we surrender to Krishna, he takes away all our reactions, because now we're trying to reach him. We're trying to engage in spiritual life. So one time, Parvati, she is the wife of Lord Shiva, for those of you who don't know. And Lord Shiva is a great demigod. He's in charge of destruction, actually. But at the moment, he's not doing that. He's in meditation, and he's waiting until it's the time for destruction. So now he's also known as a very wonderful, beneficial person to worship, that he will give you benefits very quickly. So one time, Parvati and Lord Shiva were flying in the air. They don't need airplanes. They can just fly like that. And so they saw one very poor man walking on the road. And so Parvati said, "Why don't you help this poor man? He's so poverty-stricken." Lord Shiva said, "No. Actually, even if I try to help him, his karma is so bad that he won't take advantage of it." She said, "No, do something, do something." So Lord Shiva said, "Okay." So he took this big, huge watermelon, and he put inside so much gold and silver and jewelry inside this watermelon. Then he went to the poor man. The poor man didn't see it. It was just inside the watermelon. He gave it to the poor man and said, "Here, this is for you. I'm giving you this." And the poor man was so happy. He said, "Wow, I'm going to go and sell this. I'll get so much money for this watermelon. I never had so much money." And so he went and sold the watermelon. And he didn't get the gold. So that is how the destiny is there. So whatever is good, whatever is bad, is going to come to us. So therefore, we should not endeavor so much to try to get a good position in this world, but we should serve Krishna, and he will take care of it. He will take care of his devotees. He will give us everything that we need. There's another story about one crow. This crow was sitting on a fence, and the crow saw Yamaraj, the lord of death, and Yamaraj was smiling at him. And the crow said, "Oh no, I think I'm going to die very soon. Yamaraj is smiling at me. I better get out of here fast." So the crow was very desperate to get out. So he saw Garuda, and he went to Garuda, who's the king of the birds, and Garuda is so powerful. He said, "Garuda, please get me out of here. I need to go to another planet, because I saw Yamaraj, and I'm going to die over here." So Garuda said, "No problem." So he took him very, very far away to another planet. And then, as soon as he dropped him off at that planet, he said, "Oh, thank you very much." And then as soon as he got there, one huge cat came and ate him. So then he went to Yamaraj, and he said, "I thought I escaped you, but why were you smiling at me?" And Yamaraj said, "I was smiling because I thought, how are you ever going to get to that place where you're meant to die?" So we can't escape our destiny, you know. So in his attempt to escape, he finalized his death. So sometimes we do bring death quicker by the things we do. We think we're escaping and we're avoiding death, but actually by our own actions we're bringing it quicker. And Krishna, he's just as time, he's impersonal. He gives it to everyone exactly the same way. He's not attached. He's not partial. So this form of time is very fearful. It's a destructive side. He showed it to Krishna. Krishna showed it to Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And the purport Prabhupada explains, not in this purport, but to another verse, that for the devotees, his beautiful, real form is disclosed. But for the non-devotees, he appears as time. This is also in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Saraharascha Aham. As death, I take everything away from everyone. But for the devotees, actually, I have another picture upstairs. Maybe you can run up in my cabinet and bring... There's one picture of a cat holding a rat. So, yeah, it's in the cabinet folded up, so you can find it and bring it. This is a very wonderful picture to illustrate the difference, how the devotees see the Lord and how the non-devotees see the Lord as time. So in the meantime, we'll continue. Samang Charantam means moving. He's moving everywhere, inside, outside. And Samang Charantam means that liberation is open for everyone. No one is denied the opportunity to become liberated and happy in this life. Bhagavad Gita is there, and Bhagavatam is there, and this is the door to liberation, the door to the spiritual world. So, verse 29. Na veda kaschid bhagavang shikirshitam tevehamanasya ninam virammanam neyasya kaschid dayitas dikarhichid teshascha yasmen vishamamatir ninam. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. So mercy is there. And some people say, oh, I'm not getting the mercy. How come that one's getting the mercy and I'm not getting the mercy? But no, Krishna is... He gives equally to everyone, but at the same time, he's partial. Now, how can that be? How can someone be equal and partial at the same time? That's Krishna. That's a contradiction. So the way to understand it is this. He's equal to those who are not his devotees. He gives them everything equally according to what they deserve. But to the devotees who worship him, he's partial. He gives more than they deserve. Much more.
Bonus,
yes. If you become a devotee, you get a bonus. If you worship Krishna, you get a bonus. Yes, you get more mercy, extra mercy. Yes, and that's what we all want. So he differentiates between those who take shelter of him. He says in Gita, Yeyatamam Prabhadyante, as they worship me, I reward them accordingly. He wants to give himself to everyone, but not everyone wants to accept Krishna. So therefore, what can he do? He cannot give. If maybe you experience sometimes you want to love somebody, but that person is closed and doesn't want to accept your love. So everyone who has come to this world, we are closed to Krishna. We want to be closed. We don't want to receive his love, so therefore we're here. But those of us who are trying, we want to actually meet him and connect with him, you can just stand behind it and hold it up. And there we go. Now we have the choice between life or death. Now here we have the non-devotees. This is a cat, a very big cat. And the cat has a rat in its mouth. Now that is what happens at the time of death for people who do not worship the Lord. They don't know where they're going. They're feeling fearful. They're feeling anxious. Just imagine how that rat is feeling. He knows what's going to happen to him. He's going to be eaten up by the cat. So this is what happens to people who... And the cat is taking him to death. So the devotees at the time of death, they feel like the kitten in the mouth of the cat. They belong to the mother cat. They belong to Krishna. And they feel at the time of death that she's taking us. They know where the mother cat's taking the kitten. She's taking him home. Sometimes the kitten goes away somewhere. So now the cat comes and takes the kitten and brings her home. And so she's taking the kitten back to Godhead. So not only at the time of death, even in this life sometimes we feel the teeth of the mother cat maybe. But actually sometimes we have troubles, we get disease or something. Okay, thank you. Then... it's just the teeth of the mother cat taking us home. We're going in the right direction. Sometimes we need to be taken by the mother cat. We need to be given some kind of distress just so that we'll change the direction that we're going and we'll go towards Krishna. But we should not be disturbed because we should understand it's just Krishna bringing us closer to him when the distress comes. So that's... So here it says in this verse, Kunti is bewildered. Why are you coming here? Why do you come here? You don't need to come. You're enjoying in the spiritual world. Why do you come to this world? Nobody understands you. What is your real purpose? Prabhupada explained in his lecture on this verse that the real purpose is Krishna, Krishna's free will. He said, let me go and see what's happening there. Let me go and see. But actually, he wants. What does he want to go and see? He wants to go and see what's happening to his devotees in this world. He's very attached to his devotees. So he doesn't need to come and kill the demons, but he comes to see his devotees. And sometimes he's not here. He sends the Vishnu Dutas. These are the messengers from the spiritual world. And in the story of Ajamila from Bhagavatam, we know that the Vishnu Dutas, they came and saved him because he chanted the name of the Lord at the time of death. So these Vishnu Dutas, Prabhupada said, they're wandering around just like police patrol cars. And the Yamadutas are too. They're both wandering around. The Yamadutas are waiting for you to die and the Vishnu to take you to the hellish planets. And the Vishnu Dutas are waiting for somebody to chant Hare Krishna. And to they're, then they're ready to protect you immediately. Yeah, Prabhupada said they're wandering around just waiting for someone to chant. And they're immediately ready to protect you in all circumstances. So sometimes Krishna also comes here. And when he comes here, people say, oh, just see, he's just like one of us. He's got two hands, two legs. He's got a face. He's got everything. He must just be an ordinary person. But the example is given just like there is a prison. And sometimes the governor of the state may come to visit the prison. So if he goes inside the prison, it doesn't mean he's one of the prisoners. He's just going to see, you know, if everything is being maintained properly. So Krishna, he may come here, but that doesn't mean he's one of us. God is way above us. Krishna is way above us. Another example is given that in the water, the fish are swimming, and sometimes the moon is reflected in the water, and the fish think, oh, what a shiny fish, just like us. Here's a big, shiny fish. So it's like that. They don't understand the difference between them and the moon. It's quite a big difference. So when Krishna comes also, there's quite a big difference. And he's equal to everyone, but this is bewildering. How can he be equal and also at the same time partial? So when Krishna came, he had relationships with his devotees, and he also had relationships with those who were envious of him. He killed the demons, especially, but he was at the same time merciful to them, just like Putana, who came to kill him. She smeared milk on her breast and gave him the milk to drink, but instead of killing him, he sucked out her life. But then he gave her a reward because she came as a mother. He gave her the position of mother in the spiritual world. So even though you may come to Krishna in a demoniac way, he doesn't see the bad, he just sees the good. He just wants you to come to him, that's all. Have a relationship, at least, with him. He just wants relationship. There was one in India, there was one man who was worshipping Krishna. He had Krishna, he had Durga, but he was more attached to Durga than to Krishna. So Durga is like a demigod, in case you're a new person, who's in control of this material world. So he was worshipping Durga, and he was offering his incense to Durga, but he was upset because the smell was going to Krishna instead. So he took some cotton, and he stuffed the nose of the deity so Krishna wouldn't smell it, and Durga would get all the smell. So that night he had a dream. And in the dream, Krishna came and said, oh, thank you. Thank you for having a relationship with me. He said, at least, you know, he said, but I tried to stop you from smelling. He said, that's all right. At least you think I'm there. At least you. He says, you have a relationship with me. So he's happy, even if you're not such a good relationship you have. He doesn't see the bad. He sees the good. Oh, you're trying to have a relationship. You accept me as a person, at least, better than the impersonalists. They say he has no eyes, he has no legs, he has no feet. At least that is better. And so Why do some people seem to have more mercy than others? Prabhupada gives the example that in the state, like here we have our New Zealand, some people, the government is equal to everyone. He's helping, like I think he's helping Haley, the government is helping you to go to school. They're giving you money to go to school. Now, in other cases, somebody is going to the prison, so they're helping them to go to prison, and they're giving them money. So it's your choice. You want to go to school or you want to go to prison, but it's not the fault of the government. The government doesn't want you to go to prison. They would rather have you go to school. But if you choose to break the laws, then you go to prison. So that's how the government is equal to everyone. So Krishna is equal. So we've chosen to come to the prison, the material world. So therefore, we get the reactions. But he does give us the way out, and that is the mercy. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that, what is the mercy? This is the end of paragraph one. Foolish people think devotional service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. Factually, pure devotees engaged in loving service of the Lord are not a mercantile community. So business, it's not business. We don't want to give service to Krishna and get something back. So therefore, the full mercy of the Lord is for them, Prabhupada said. Suffering men, needy men, inquisitive persons, or philosophers make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a purpose. And the purpose is served, there is no more relation. So a suffering man, he prays, please get me well, please get me well. Then he gets well, and then he says, okay, goodbye. I don't need you anymore. Thank you, but anyway, I'll do my work now. Thank you for getting me well. So, but the mercy of the Lord is open for this person, but he is reluctant to accept it. So that's a very important point. Why would we be reluctant to receive the mercy of the Lord? Any reason? Why? Why should we be reluctant? Anybody know or have a reason? Yeah, Haley?
I don't understand that the enjoyment I'll get from serving the Lord is higher than what I'll get from.
Okay, they don't understand the enjoyment of serving is higher than, Sevananda is higher than the material thing.
Belief.
Yes?
Too much attachment for material things.
Too much attachment, yes. Yes? Pride. Being?
Envy.
Envy, yes, envy, pride. These are obstacles to getting the mercy of the Lord and being reluctant to accept the mercy of the Lord. Yes, I would rather be in control of my own life. Why should I have the Lord? Actually, he's already controlling you, whether you like it or not. But, I mean, either you get controlled by the prison or you get controlled by the Lord in a loving way. And that is our choice. There is another, I just remembered another story. It was about a man. He had a nice wife. He was married. But he insisted on going to a prostitute. So the wife said, you know, what does she have that I don't have? Why do you go to this prostitute? And so the husband said, well, she dresses very nicely. So then the next day, the wife dressed so nicely. But the husband still went to the prostitute. She said, now what? He said, yes, you dress better than her, but she has something more better. She cooks better. So then the next day, the wife made a feast. Husband stayed at home, and she dressed nicely. He stayed at home. But then the next day came, and he went to the prostitute. So then the wife said, well, he said, yes, your cooking's better, you dress better. But what does she have that I don't have? He says, she kicks me, and she blasphemes me, and she says all bad things, and she's really bad to me. And the wife said, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that to you. I love you. So then that's how it is in the material world. We prefer to be kicked and all these things as long as we're independent. You think, yes, this kicking is very nice. It's part of life. Problems are part of life. If you don't get kicked, then you can't enjoy, because you can't enjoy your happiness. And so this is our choice. We prefer to be kicked and instead of being loved. And so it's boring unless you're being kicked. It's adventure. It's exciting, you know, to have these, you know. That's why people take drugs, why they do all these things. It's, you know, it's exciting. Why are you afraid? So this is life. So the mercy is there. We can choose the path of love or we can choose the path of being kicked. And in this world, 99% have chosen the path of being kicked. But the mercy is there, just like the sun is there, the beautiful sun since yesterday. The sun is there for everyone. Everyone can take advantage of the sun. But if you lock yourself in a dark room, what can the sun do? So the mercy of the Lord is for everyone. But if you close yourself, you cannot receive the mercy. Prabhupada gave the example, if you fly in an airplane and you go west and you keep going, you'll never see the sunset. And I had that experience when I left, the first time I went out for teaching, I left Delhi and I was going to Ireland. And I was on the airplane and I did my morning Gayatri, my noon Gayatri, and then I was, okay, time for evening Gayatri, 7 o'clock, but the sun was still out there. And I said, okay, 8 o'clock. I was looking on the airplane, I was looking at the sun. It was still bright. I said, 9 o'clock? 10 o'clock? Finally, when the plane landed, then the sun set at 11:30 at night. I said, wow, that's really, really a fact. And then when I teach up there, I go up to Sweden and those places, the sun doesn't even set in the summer. So it's really hard. It's light the whole night. It's light. They call it the land of the midnight sun. Land of midnight sun. So, but if you keep yourself like that, always in the sun of Krishna, then you will always get the mercy. So we will go. So your homework actually for today is how to receive the mercy. Or actually, how is the mercy coming to you in your life? Notice today how mercy is coming. How is mercy coming to you from Krishna in your life? What is the mercy that's coming to you? And then you can also notice, is there some mercy that I am reluctant to receive? Some mercy that I said, okay, not now, later, tomorrow maybe, or maybe next life. Yes. So today you just be aware of mercy and how it is coming. Hanuman, who is a monkey, he prays about Lord Ram that you cannot have a friendship with Ram based on your beauty, your aristocratic family, your eloquence, sharp intelligence. He said, we're born as monkeys. So this is not a prerequisite for friendship with the Lord. We have no beauty, we can't speak like gentlemen, but Ram has accepted us. So what is the qualification to receive the mercy? And that is, Prabhupada said, voluntary endeavor in a service attitude. You have an attitude of service to the Lord and you try to serve Him, voluntary endeavor, then you will get the mercy. What are some other qualities that are necessary to receive the mercy of the Lord? Anybody think of something?
Humility.
Humility, very good. That's a very important quality. If we're humble, then we're open. If we're proud, we're closed. We cannot receive the mercy. What is another quality? Yeah?
Willingness.
Willingness, yes. Willingness. Willingness to accept the mercy. Yes, all of these are making us more open. Humility, willingness. Yes? Lalyam, desire, intense desire, yes. We want the mercy. Desire, good.
Openness.
Openness, right, right. Another one I thought of is enthusiasm. We want to be enthusiastic. Just one example was one little boy, I think, younger, 3 years old. We don't have a three-year-old here, do we? There was one three-year-old child, and he was coming to see Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was sitting on his Vyasasan, like that, and he was running. He was so enthusiastic. And then when he got to the temple, there was a huge long floor, but it was very slippery. So he slipped, and he fell, and he went all the way to the Vyasasan. So that is enthusiasm. You really want to get your spiritual life. So we'll go to the next verse. Mercy. So our theme today is mercy. Notice the mercy coming during your day today. How it is coming, and what is the mercy that you're getting from Krishna. And then if you notice it, then I think automatically you'll be grateful. And you'll have a grateful attitude. Gratitude is also very important for advancement in spiritual life. So verse 30. Janma karma chavishvatman ajasya kartaratmana tiryang nishishuyadasa taridyanta vidambanam. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, and that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. So, this is God. How can God work? Why should he work? He doesn't need to work. He says in Gita, I don't need anything. We work because we need something. We need money. We want to maintain. So we work. But Krishna doesn't need money. He has all the money. It's all his. And he has everything. But when he comes here, he works. How does he work? Can anybody tell me what is Krishna's work? Yes. Very good. Pratanaya Saranam. He comes here too. He works as a kshatriya. That he protects the devotees and he annihilates the demons. He comes to protect. A kshatriya, that is the duty of a king. A kshatriya. Anything else?
Fighting,
it's the same thing. Yes. He worked as a kshatriya. He didn't work in Vrindavan much. Of course, he took care of the cows. But that wasn't really work. It was more like recreation. Because all he did was play the whole day and take care of the cows at the same time. It's not really work. But the kshatriya, it's more like work. You do have to go out and fight and do a lot of work there. And do sacrifices and do so many things. So yes, he worked, although he is inactive. Yes, for creation, he didn't have to work. He just desired. He just glanced at Durga, and that was it. And she got pregnant just by his glance. He just desired. And then everybody else has to do all the work. The demigods are doing the work. He doesn't have to work. So he comes here just to teach us how to work and be happy. So he is the example of how to do your work and be happy. So we can't just expect that the money is going to come flying in our pocket. Nobody has that experience, do you? That the money comes flying and, oh, you don't have to work. No, we have to work for the money. In Hitopadesh, it is said, even if money comes to you on the road, you still have to pick it up. You know, it may come. Like even my son has that karma when he was young. He would just find money. One time we were in the airport and he went like this. I said, hey, don't touch dirty things. He said, it's 100 rupees. And we were on a beach, an isolated beach in the middle of nowhere, and he'll find money. You know, it's just like that was... Now it's eluding him, but at that point... when he was young, he had some good karma. Now he's following the American path, way in debt on his credit card. But anyway, yeah, you do have to work. He hasn't realized that yet, but I think he's going to have to soon when his credit card gets to the limit. But only God doesn't have to work. We have to work. So that's one difference between us and God, us and Krishna. So all contradictions are reconciled and we understand Krishna's most powerful quality of bhaktivatsala, or his love for his devotees. So the last verse we're reading today is about that. Gopyadade tvaikidagasidamatavad yate dishashikalilanjana samramaksham Bhaktam nini abhaya bhavana yastitasya samam vimohayati bhirapiyad bibeti. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. So here we have the picture. On top, we have his mother tying him up, or trying to tie him up. It took her a while. And there at the bottom, there is Yamaraj, where Yamaraj, the lord of death, is afraid of Krishna. And up there, Krishna, the lord of everyone, as a small child, is afraid of his mother. So what a contradiction. How can God be afraid? But Krishna, he likes to have these relationships with his devotees. He likes his devotees to control him, although he controls everyone. He controls the whole world. But he wants his devotees to control him by their love. And we know the story, and in case you don't, I'll retell it a little bit, that his mother Yashoda was feeding him her breast milk. But then she put him down to go and attend the milk overboiling on the stove, and he got very angry when she put him down, said, "She's not giving me my milk, I'm going to do something." So he went to the storage room, to the butter pot, he broke the pot of butter, he took the butter, and he started feeding all his friends and all the monkeys, celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, with butter. And Yashoda, she came and she saw he was gone, and she jumped and she was running after him, and Krishna started running too. He was afraid of her, and she had a stick as well, so that was really fearful. She'd have her stick? No, she threw it away. So she was saying, "Krishna, where are you? Stop right now. You're the foremost cheater. You're a liar. You're a thief." And Krishna was running and looking over his shoulder to make sure his mother wasn't catching him. And it's very interesting because in the Upanishads, in the Vedas, it says Krishna is very fast. Nobody can catch him. So she's calling, "Stop, stop, thief. Where do you think you're going? Don't go anywhere. I'm going to catch you." Then he stopped a little safe distance away. He said, "Okay, I'll stop if you put your stick down. Just put that stick down." The stick was very fearful to Krishna. So this is quite amazing. "Don't punish me. Just put the stick down." So Yashoda said, "If you're so afraid of being punished, why did you break the pot?" He said, "I won't do it again. Just put the stick down. Don't punish me." And so this is, Yashoda put the stick down. And the demigods were watching, and they're amazed. They were bewildered. They can't understand this aspect of Krishna in his family, with his family. So Kunti, she has pure love for Krishna, but it's mixed a little bit with Aishwarya, or opulence. So when she sees this aspect of Krishna, she's bewildered, because she understands he's the Lord. He's the Supreme Lord. He's controlling everything. How can he be afraid of his mother? How can this be? This is a contradiction. So we know that Krishna, in the spiritual world, he is married to Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. He has all the money. Lakshmi means money. He has so much money. But at the same time, here he is stealing butter, although he has everything. Why is he stealing? One time I was in Vrindavan, and some non-devotees from Europe, somewhere from Europe, they came, and they had known a little bit about Krishna. They said, "How can God steal?" They asked me, and I said, "Well, he comes." I said, "How come people in this world steal? Sometimes you're a small child, and sometimes you may steal something. How come small children steal? They get it from him, that's why. He's the first one. He's the first thief. He's the one that did it first. He was the first naughty child. He's the first everything. He's the original." So as Krishna is in his family, so people are in this world. But when he does it, he's worshipable. And when we do it, we get put in jail. So we don't imitate him. We don't imitate him. And so this pastime is shows an opulence of Krishna, of beauty and being controlled by the love of his devotees. And so he gets bored. Everyone's coming to praise me. You know, I don't have any fun. So therefore he goes to, he has his intimate family members in Goloka Vrindavan, where he can just have fun and not be God. They don't see him as God at all. They don't think he's God. One time, he told his coward boyfriends that he was God. They were playing in the fields, and they were playing on teams, and Krishna's team, the team he was on, was defeated. So he had to carry another boy on his back. And Krishna said, I'm too tired. I just can't do it today. I cannot carry you. And the boy said, "No, you have to. You lost. You have to carry me now. You lost. This was a fair game, and you lost. You have to carry me." Krishna said, "No, I'm just really tired." He says, "Anyway, I'm God. I don't have to carry you." He said, "Oh, yeah, right. You're God. We don't believe that." He said, "Oh, yeah? Okay, I'll show you." So then he manifested a very opulent form as Narayan, and everyone was worshiping him, and the coward boys were looking. And then they said, "No, please come back, Gopal. We don't want to see you like this." So then he came back. He said, "Okay." They said, "Okay, you don't have to do it today, but tomorrow you have to carry us." They let him off. But actually, they don't. Then they forgot about it. They forgot he's God. They forgot immediately. And so he's God. Usually he doesn't show it in Vrindavan. I mean, he wanted to get out of that time, but usually he doesn't manifest his form as God. Even when he's killing the demons, when he was killing Putana, he still stayed a little baby. Otherwise his mother might get upset and think something happened to him if he became a huge form. So she would be really worried. So therefore, he just remained a small baby and for his mother. So that's how he is in the spiritual world, in the highest place. Prabhupada gave another example of the Prime Minister of England, how he was, somebody was waiting to see him, a very important man, and he is the Prime Minister. And a long time he was waiting, a very important person. Finally, he peeked in the door to see what the Prime Minister was doing. The Prime Minister was on his hands and legs, and his grandchild was on the back saying, "Go, horsey, go, horsey, go, horsey." So this is Krishna in the spiritual world. He's with his family. He's with his friends. He's with his lovers. He's with his mother and father. He's intimate. So these pastimes are not revealed to many people. Only very few people know these confidential pastimes in this world. And fortunately, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, which is showing us these pastimes, the most intimate pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And that is the pastimes of love. So now, I would just like to say one more thing about the difference between Kunti and the residents of Vrindavan. Kunti was living in outside Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a very special place. So Krishna left Vrindavan at one point in his life, and everybody was really suffering in separation from Krishna. So Krishna sent a messenger, Uddhava, to the Brijbasis with a message. And Uddhava was trying to console Nanda Maharaj, you know, that your son Krishna, he's not an ordinary boy, he's God. He's trying to convince him. But Nanda could not understand. He was lamenting, "No, when will my son come back? We're dying and he's not coming." And Uddhava was at a loss. How can I console Nanda? Because he's crying, you know, he's crying for Krishna. An ordinary person cries over his son. That's one thing, I can console him. But if somebody's crying for Krishna, I should tell him, "You should cry more." You know, I shouldn't tell him, "Don't cry." I should encourage him to cry, actually. This is really good. So he was saying, "No, but actually, yes, Krishna is your son in one sense, but you only see things that way because you love him. You think of him as your son, and he reciprocates that way and treats you like his father. In that sense, he's your son, but in another sense, he's the source of everything. He's the controller of the entire material world, spiritual world. You're fortunate to have him as your son." And Nanda said, "How can you say we're fortunate? Now you're telling me my son's God, so I'm more unfortunate. I lost God. He went away. So how can you say I'm fortunate? We're the most unfortunate. And I don't believe you that he's Narayan, that he's God. Narayan's the shelter of the universe. Everyone depends on him. And you know what my son does? He steals butter. He carries my shoes. And they say Narayan, the Lord, is aptakama. He's fully self-satisfied. But my son, if you see him when he's hungry, He throws a tantrum if we don't feed him in time. He's completely different. So how is he pure and sinless? He's a thief. How can you say he's God? He lies sometimes too. He lies when he's out playing and his friends say, one time his friends said he ate dirt, and he said, no, they're lying. But actually he was lying. He ate dirt. So therefore, Nanda was not convinced that he was God. Because nobody can convince the Brijbasis that Krishna is God. Unless they're in separation, sometimes they have a glimpse. But generally, they don't understand how he's God. So Srila Prabhupada said, if we have the attitude that, let me please Krishna, then we can transform even our own house, make it into a temple, make it into the spiritual world. And we can get the mercy of Krishna. So today's homework is to notice the mercy, how the mercy is coming. And before we go, I want to sing one song about Krishna, which is about, you can pass these out, and then we'll be, the class will be over. Yeah. This is a song in honor of Krishna as a thief. Char Agraganya Purushastakam. It's an astaka, eight verses. And I don't know where it's from, actually, except from Gaura Govinda Maharaj. Did everybody get a copy? You can share also. I think he has maybe a little extra over there. He has more copies over here. He has more copies. Can pass them over. Vraje prasidam navanita charam. Sing. Vraje prasidam navanita charam. Gopanganam chadukula charam. Gopanganam chadukula charam. Aneka janmarjita papa charam.
Aneka janmarjita papa charam.
Charaka ganyam purusham namami.
Charaka ganyam purusham namami.
I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. He steals the butter from the houses of the damsels of Brajbhumi. He steals all the garments of the damsels of Brajbhumi. He's famous for his acts of stealing. He steals all the sinful reactions of his devotees. And that's for us. Such a great thief. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Charam.
Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Charam.
Navam Buddhasya Malakanti Charam.
Navam Buddhasya Malakanti Charam.
Parashitanam cha samasta charam.
Parashitanam cha samasta charam.
Chara gaganyam purushan namami.
Chara gaganyam purushan namami.
He steals the heart of Radharani. He steals the blackish hue of the dark cloud. He steals everything. For those who take shelter at his lotus feet, he steals everything they have. He takes all of their possessions, their material assets, money, and men. He even steals their mind. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Akinchani kritya parashitamya.
Akinchani kritya parashitamya.
Karoti bhikshum patike hahinam.
Karoti bhikshum patike hahinam.
Kenapyaho bhishana chora itrik.
Kenapyaho bhishana chora itrik.
Dishta shita vana jagatayepi. He takes away everything from those who take shelter at his lotus feet. He takes away their material wealth, their wife, their children, and their kith and kin. He takes everything. Then those persons become paupers like beggars on the street, with no house, no hut, nothing. Such a great thief who steals away everything. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Yadi anama piharatya shesham. Giri prasaranapi paparasin.
Giri prasaranapi paparasin.
Ashchaya rupa nanu chara itre.
Ashchaya rupa nanu chara itre.
Dishta shuta vana maya karapi.
Dishta shuta vana maya karapi.
Such a great thief. If one only hears his name, he takes away all their sinful reactions. I have never seen or heard of such a wonderful thief. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Tanam chamanam chatatendiyani. Pradang shahitva mama sarvameva. Parayase kutra triyotyachara. Tam bhakti tam nasi maya niruta. Oh, great thief, stealing all of our assets, bank balance, money, land, property, prestige, fame, senses, mind, heart, and everything. You are running away. Why are you running? I will catch hold of you. You are such a great thief, but now you are caught. I will bind you with this rope of love. Where will you go now, great thief, running away and taking everything? You are bound up with this very strong rope of love. You cannot run away now. Chinat sikoram yamapashabandham. Pinat sipimam bhavapashabandham. Chinat sisarvasya samastabandham. Naivatmano pakta kritantubandham. You may cut off the rope of Yamraj. You may cut off this material bondage, but you cannot cut this bondage of love. Now you are in bondage. I have bound you up. Man manase tamasarasi kore. Karakihe dukamaye nibata. Labasvahe chora hare chiraya. Svachoya dosa chitame vadandam. Oh, great thief, Lord Hari, I'm putting you in the very dark prison house of my heart. This is the right prison for you. I'm putting you here forever. This is the proper punishment for your act of stealing. Stay here forever in this prison house of my heart. I'll never release you. Karagrihe vasa sada vidaye madiye. Karagrihe vasa sada vidaye madiye. Madbhakti pashadita bandhana nishala san.
Madbhakti pashadita bandhana nishala
san. Tam krishna he palaya koti santantarepi.
Tam krishna he palaya
Sarvasva chora hridayanna hi mochayami. Now I have bound you with the rope of love and put you in the prison house of my heart. Stay there, stay there, stay there. You cannot get yourself free from this very tight bondage, O Krishna. You have stolen everything from me, my material assets, my name, my fame, beauty, reputation, kith and kin, family members, heart and mind. This is the proper punishment for you, to remain in this prison house of my heart, bound up very tightly with the rope of love, forever and forever. If crores or pralayas come, still I won't release you. This is suitable punishment for such a great thief as you. So, that is the prayer to the great thief. And this is the result of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that we will capture Krishna in our heart. He's already there. We just can't see him, but then we'll be able to see him by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Reciting his prayers, in a neophyte stage.
I know. You don't want him to take away your house and your kids and everything.
Still in that neophyte stage where we are a fish, truly. So by reciting his prayers, is it okay to
do? Yeah, it's okay. Because he hasn't taken them away. It's like you've already taken it away. I mean, if you feel like saying it, then you can say it. Actually, when everybody grows up and goes out of house, it might be the good time to say it. When everybody, like for me, like everyone's left and everything's taken away. Yeah, it might be a more proper time to say it. Perhaps it's not the proper time for you yet because you still have all your family and everything. But anyway, one time is enough, and you can just understand maybe what it means. So in case it does happen, then you can say this prayer.
It's quite funny actually. Last night I had a dream,
And so, yes. Okay, yeah.
It's like the same praying for calamities to happen again.
Yeah, it's like praying for calamities. But actually, it's already happened.
Exactly.
This is like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen at the time of death. So you can appreciate it at that point also. If you happen to die before you lose everything, at the time of death you will lose everything. I mean, it's going to happen. It's not that it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time when it's going to happen. Time of death, 100%. You can't take anything. You can't take your kids. You can't take your house. You can't. What can you take? He will take everything away.
Is it still okay to preserve this prayer? Like,
yeah, just keep it. Don't worry. In Malaysia, I hear that they're afraid to worship Krishna because he might take everything away. And in Tamil, also Tamil Nadu, they're afraid to worship, especially if he has a flute in his hands. So they may worship, but they won't give him the flute. Because he has a reputation that if you hear the flute, you might just leave everything. Yes?
When I was reading it, I was thinking, well, I'm not on that level, but I was just appreciating the person who had that in his voice.
Right. This is a very high level. And so it's nice to appreciate this very high level of realization. But it's good if you have that at least at the time of death. You need to come, otherwise you'll be disturbed and you'll come back for your things that you are attached to. Yes?
This has been in my mind for a lot. Is there such thing as untimely death?
Is there such thing as untimely death? Untimely death means you're not prepared. I mean, for us it means you're not ready. Untimely death, yes, there is untimely death.
What are the examples?
Yeah, somebody's murdered. Or somebody commits suicide, that's untimely death.
Oh,
accident, yeah, it could be. Accident could be or could not be. I mean, it depends on your previous, your reactions. It could be the time of death, your accident, your this thing. But suicide is untimely death. You want to finish it before the time is up. You're not meant to die. But on the internet, there is one example of a suicide case who survived. And she talked about what happened to her. She shot herself in the chest. And then she went to some place and there was a shining person there. And the person said, "You have not learned the lesson that you were supposed to learn in this life. So I'm giving you two choices. You can go back, your shot was not fatal, you can go back in the same body and learn your lesson, or you can take another birth and it will be a much more difficult situation and you can learn your lesson in another body. And it's going to be much worse because you have killed yourself in this life." So she chose to come back and learn the lesson that she was supposed to learn in this life. So that is an example of untimely death. Generally, you don't get the choice, but this person... And then it was on, there's some kind of internet, neardeath.com or something, I don't know.
So if that was a spiritual master having an accident, how would
he... If it's spiritual, that means that his guru needs him, probably. And he couldn't wait. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada, if it's one of our devotees, his Prabhupada couldn't wait, probably, I guess, for it to take him. He needed him immediately, so... Mm-hmm. For the devotees, it's life and death is not in their hands. It's Krishna's desire, the guru's desire. When they want them, when they need them, then you go. If we can help in this world, then we stay. If the disciples of the guru can help sometime, then they're given time here to do some work. Otherwise, if the work is over, if the work is finished, and the body is in a bad shape, then they may go. Maybe. Yes.
There's one kirin that says, "The more you complain, the longer God makes you stay here."
The more you complain, the longer God makes you stay here. Yeah. Yes.
There's a purport that I read by Srila Prabhupada, which says that accident is a concoction by the atheists.
Oh, okay.
To deny the existence.
accident is a concoction of an atheist to deny the existence of God. Yeah, generally, yeah, accident. But suicide is another thing. It's untimely death. Of course, we also say untimely death if someone dies in their childhood. According to the laws of nature, the child should live till an old age. But in Kali Yuga, everyone's breaking the laws, so therefore it doesn't happen. The child may die before the father, now in Kali Yuga. Before, it was unheard of. In the previous ages, it was unheard of. Yeah, not a blade of grass moves. Yeah. I mean, it's not really untimely, but it looks untimely. It should be, the person should have lived longer, but it appears to us untimely. But according to the time of that person's karma, it was untime. It was untime, according to the karma. But for devotees, even the astrologers say, we can't predict the devotees. I know one friend, the astrologer said, you'll die at this age. She passed that age. She survived. He went back to the astrologer. He said, no, I can't say anything. You should have died. What can I say? I don't know, because you should have died then. Now you're still here. Well, I don't know what to say. Yeah.
He's talking about being Kunti's relationship with the
woman
reverence.
Right.
So I find it really fascinating that Krishna still came to her house and
Yes. Because the same thing happened to his Devaki and Vasudev. Sometimes the awe and reverence gets to them and they start offering prayers to their sons, you know, like when they came back after Gurukul. And then Krishna said he didn't want it. They didn't want to hear that, so he bewildered them and, oh, yeah, my son. So, yeah, the people in Dwarka, in Mathura, they're bewildered. Hastinapura. Outside of Vrindavan, they have this mixture of awe and reverence and also a family relationship. So sometimes the one comes through. But then Krishna doesn't like that. He would rather have Jem as his mother and father than praying to him, you know. And so he made them forget. And so then they accepted him as a son. But Yashoda never, even if you can try 100 times to tell her he's God and she'll never believe it. Even when she sees, she still doesn't believe it. Even when she sees how he's doing extraordinary thing. She thinks, oh, Narayan is protecting him. God is protecting him. He's not God.
Yes,
the eternal relationship. Yes. Kunti has that eternally. Devaki and Vasudeva, they have that eternal relationship. They like the opulence and of Dwarka and that sort of life. Whereas Yashoda, they're the cowherd people. They like that life and that relationship, more intimate with Krishna. Yes?
There's one letter which I've heard Srila Prabhupada say that we can't change our destiny by even an inch.
Right. Well, I haven't heard that, but we can't change, but Krishna can change. He says that right in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam pritaja mamekam sharanam raja ahang tvam sarvapapibhyo. Nectar devotion, you just dance in front of the deities, the lines are wiped off. We cannot change, but Krishna can change because he's in charge of it. He's in charge of the karma. He can make it, and he gives us token reaction. He follows our karma, but he gives us not the same as we should have gotten, a much lighter dose, just to bring us closer. Yes?
I just search for untimely.
Untimely.
Prabhupada gives a little definition.
Okay, good.
For persons who are papishta, very sinful in Durachara,
oh, yes.
Misbehaved, yes. Or very unclean in the hair,
yes.
Who are against the existence of God, who disrespect Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, and who eat anything and everything, untimely death is sure.
Yes, yes. Yes, untimely death. That is for someone who is disrespecting the devotees, who is eating anything and everything, who is living like an animal. In other words, although he has a human body, he lives like an animal. Untimely death. Yes, if you... That happened at the Battle of Kurukshetra. All those people who disrespected Draupadi, they caused untimely death. And it's described when Krishna looked at the other soldiers on the other side, he shortened the duration of their lives. He shortened all, when he glanced, when Krishna glanced at the other side, he shortened the duration of their lives.
Dying in an accident is the most unfortunate way to go.
It is unfortunate, but if you're chanting, and there's a verse that says in Bhagavatam, if you're chanting, if you fall down and slip from the roof and die, or if you're in an accident or anything, then you will be protected. You'll be protected if you're chanting at that point.
It can also be very quick. If you've done an
accident, yeah. Yeah, I know. We were in an accident. We had time to chant. The car was out of control on both sides, both lanes of the highway. This way we had couldn't control the car. No, the chanting came first. We didn't have time. We might have been afraid, but we just automatically were all chanting, and we were saved, actually. Here I am.
What is the exchange between Kunti Devi and Radharani?
They don't have exchange, as far as I know. I mean, I heard that Kunti did visit Vrindavan, but she would be like a mother. She's in Vatsalya Ras, Kunti. So if there were an exchange, she would be like a mother. It would be like mother to daughter. Because Yashoda has that relationship with Radharani. Did you leave something?
I'm leaving my jacket.
Okay. Here?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you for coming. Yes. Okay, tomorrow's verses are verses 32 to 38. And please try to see the mercy in your life today, mercy of Krishna, how it's coming. And if there's anything, any mercy you're reluctant to accept. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I hope yours is working. I forgot mine today.
Yeah, no, it's all
good.